In the recovery from the Great Recession, one type of job has seen substantial growth: temporary labor. Our next guest has been tracking the growth of temp jobs and safety hazards facing many temporary employees.
Michael Grabel is with us. He covers economic and labor issues for ProPublica. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
First of all, how much growth has there been in temporary employment in the last few years?
Well, so the temp sector has been growing at about 9 times the rate of the economy as a whole, and about 1/6 of all jobs, of the total job growth that we've seen since the recession ended, has been in the temp sector. So now, this past month in the most recent jobs report, there are 2.8 million temps. That's the most the U.S. has ever seen.
And when I think of
the highest proportion that we've ever seen,
when I think of temp, the image that pops into my mind is clerical work, somebody working in an office. That's not what it looks like anymore. What is the big growth in temp work that you're tracking in your series of stories?
Right, that's the image of the past with the Kelly girls and the white glove girls that you might remember. But now, almost all of the growth that we've seen in the last decade has come in blue-collar work, in warehouse work, and in the manufacturing sector. And every morning in many cities across this country, you will see immigrant laborers, African-American men and young white men who have not, and women, who have not, who have vocational training but maybe not a college degree, going to a temp agency at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. for a shift that starts 2 hours later, waiting to see if their name is called and they'll get to work today.
And what's driving that from the employer's side? A cheaper labor, more flexible workforce in terms of how many people they need from week to week?
Yeah, there's even from day to day, there's really three things going on that's causing this. One is, of course, the uncertainty in the economy. But at a certain point, that uncertainty becomes structural. Companies that are sort of new to temp labor find that, hey, this is a great way to compete. I don't have to pay benefits. It lowers my workers' comp costs. And, you know, I can try out the worker before I buy. So if I want to try them out for a year, then, you know, and then hire them on, I can do that. The second thing that's happening is over time, we've seen this increase in just-in-time manufacturing, but also just-in-time distribution, where we click a button on Amazon and can get the product the next day. So literally, those orders are changing on a daily basis, and companies want to have 100 workers the next day, 150 the next day, and be able to let all of them go at once without really facing major consequences. And the last thing that has been happening in the economy is increasingly we're seeing this fractured model of employment, where the brand name on the product that you buy in the store rarely touches the product that's actually made. So you might see a shampoo bottle that has the sort of the brand name company that America has grown up with, and they're actually subcontracting to a contract shampoo company that you've never heard of, that's then hiring temp workers to actually make the products, pack the products, and unpack the boxes that deliver them to the store shelves.
Is there a different mindset for an employer when it comes to a temporary versus a permanent employee? One of your pieces uses the word expendable.
Right. Yeah, that seems to be the way not every company, but some companies treat their workers. We recently chronicled an accident that killed a temp worker at a Bacardi bottling plant in Florida. It was this worker's first day on any job in his life. And when OSHA came in, they interviewed the workers and found that, that workers were, said they were treated as second-class citizens, as peons, anything that was, was sort of unfavorable to do, something that is distasteful to do, they would assign the temp workers and not have the permanent workers do it.
Nationwide, do temps face a greater risk of injury, or in the case of the worker you just mentioned, death, than permanent employees?
They do. This has been something that's been hard to get a handle on. The U.S. government does not track the injuries in the temp industry in the same way that it tracks injuries in every other industry in the country. So what we did is we requested workers' comp claims databases in about half the states in the country the largest ones. And we got them in five, including California and Florida, the, you know, some of the largest states. And what we found is that, yes, temps do face a higher risk of getting injured than regular workers. And what was surprising is that they actually face some severe injuries at a higher rate. In Florida, temps were about twice as likely as regular employees to suffer crushing injuries, dislocations, heat stroke. In every state that we could get data on, they were three times as likely to suffer an amputation, temps more than permanent workers. And our first thought of this was maybe they're just working in more dangerous jobs, and that explains all of it. And it's true that temps do get assigned to some of the more dangerous occupations, working some of the lower-level skill jobs in manual labor than sort of a high-skilled technician who might be monitoring a factory. But when we looked at just blue-collar jobs in Florida and controlled for all of these factors, temps, it actually got worse. Temps in Florida and blue-collar jobs were six times more likely to be injured than their regular counterparts.
Is this, on the one hand, just we're not seeing workplace protections for these employees that in some cases are viewed as expendable? Or is it something as simple as this? There's a dangerous job. If I'm a guy who works there, I went through the full training package. I've worked there for years. I know my way around the gear. Whereas if I'm a guy, I'm in and out of this job one day, that job another day, I don't know what I'm doing. And so it's going to be more dangerous naturally.
Right. It's all those factors. Temps are often working in a new environment. They're operating machines or doing things they don't have experience with. And they're using muscles that they might not normally use. But those factors all point to training. Temps are a new worker, and they need to be trained like every other worker. And what the Labor Department and what OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, have found is that a lot of companies don't want to invest in a temp worker. They may think that they're going to be there a day or a week, and what's the chance of them getting injured in that time period? And so they don't subject them to the same training. They point them to a machine. You know, in a case of our worker, they point them to a machine and told them to clean it. The worker didn't really understand what is basic in the manufacturing concept, that you have to turn off a machine and lock it before you work on it, and he didn't have those material, he didn't have a lock or anything to shut down the machine, and they get themselves in dangerous situations, and the people who are supposed to be supervising them aren't supervising them. So in part because they don't want that risk of being associated as the employer of that worker, and so repeatedly, the federal government and the public is seeing workers on their first day on the job, second day on the job, being killed by machines that they're not used to deal with, by heat stroke, or because they're being assigned to clean the inside of a chemical tank and they're not properly trained on how to use respiratory masks.
We've got a caller on the line at 800-642-1234. Wayne in Hartford joins us. Wayne, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I've used temp workers in three different companies in the Milwaukee area. And it's been for one reason. It's to bring temps in as new employees. They're treated as new employees, given the same jobs and opportunities basically as new employees have, with the exception of the fact that as a temp worker, we get to monitor them and watch their performance and their attendance for approximately 90 days before we have to decide whether or not we want to take them on our books. And it's a great way of bringing people in and giving people an opportunity. To the best of my knowledge, certainly in this area, the temp agencies and the companies that use them do not abuse temp workers. They use them as a resource to find full-time employees in most cases, and I think they serve a pretty valuable resource to the community.
And Wayne, what kind of jobs are we talking about here? Warehouse or clerical or?
It's all manufacturing of one kind or another, and like I said, if we brought in a brand new employee off the street and hired him tomorrow, we would bring him through a training process You would start out here, you would move, we would find out where you fit in, etc. We do exactly the same thing with a temp.
Wayne, thanks a lot for your call, Wayne. So that's what you mentioned, Michael, that it makes sense for an employer. I think you used the phrase try before you buy.
Right. And this is what used to be kind of, almost the apprentice model, like the president was talking about in his speech last night, or a probationary period where you're hired directly by the company. Temp agencies have kind of taken over that role for a lot of our economy. And employers are finding that that is a better way to try out an employee, because if they're working for a different company, there's no obligation to give them the same benefits as another worker. The first few months, of course, are when a worker is more likely to get injured. So if they do, that increases your workers' comp costs. If you hire a temp agency, that increases the temp agency's workers' comp costs, and it's not your problem. So yes, from an employer's perspective, this is a very favorable way of trying out new employees. The 90-day time period, I've heard this before. It's not a law in any way, and it's up to the temp agency and the company to honor their agreement, I guess, with the temp agency. But you do see temps working 2 years on this when they were told that after 90 days they'd get a review, working 2 years, sometimes five or more years, coming in that way.
We're talking to ProPublica reporter Michael Grabel about his recent reporting on the rise of temp workers and the safety hazards they may face on the job.
And we'd love to hear from you on this. Are you a temp worker? Do you see these safety hazards at your own workplace? Or do you work with temporary workers? Do they get the same protection on the job as permanent employees? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
We continue our conversation now about safety hazards facing temporary employees. Michael Grabel is with us. He's been reporting on this issue for ProPublica. You can join in with your experiences at 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. We'll go to Anya in Milwaukee now. Anya, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm actually calling because I know someone who actually almost lost an arm working for a temp agency in Wisconsin. She worked for temp agencies for 5 years, and she started a job with a small contracting company and ended up cutting her arm because the tool was old and weak, and she pulled back, and I cut her arm, and she ended up getting a pseudoaneurysm and almost lost her arm and hasn't been working since the injury, which was a year ago.
Talking to her about it, did she have a sense that maybe her safety wasn't taken seriously because she was a temp?
I think that's definitely what it is, and she's actually pursuing a case against the employer because there was no contract or anything involved with the work, and he hasn't responded to her since the injury. So it's really important. I'm really glad you guys are talking about it because it's become really serious for her.
And thanks for sharing your friend's story, Anya. Michael, she mentioned that her friend is pursuing legal action. Are we seeing more of that sort of thing as temps face injuries?
Well, yes, and I'd ask the caller and her friend to email me if they don't mind. I'd love to hear more about that situation. And also the caller before. I mean, all callers I'm interested in hearing more from. It's michael.graybell@propublica.org, or just Google and you'll find that same information. But to answer your question, there's a couple things going on. One, that we're seeing an increase in workers' comp claims, and this is what we wrote about in the story, the records that we analyzed. While temp work is one of the fastest growing industries in the U.S., it's also one of the few where the rate of injury is going up, and this is the rate of workers' comp claims that we were able to look at. Separately, you're seeing more and more, I don't know if you're seeing more and more, but you definitely are seeing kind of more attention to lawsuits where they're not just suing the temp agency under the workers' comp laws. They are pursuing action against the client companies and the people higher up in the supply chain to say that they are also employers and responsible for what's happening in the system.
Even if that's outsourced to another company.
even if that's outsourced to another company. It's not very usual that it's successful. There have been a couple cases, most recently with Walmart in Southern California, and it hasn't been successful yet. But the temp workers there have gone to court to rule that Walmart does have to come and answer questions on this issue. They can't just get a general release from the lawsuit because they're not being, the technical on paper employer of the worker. And in that situation, these temps work for the temp agency that works for the subcontracted warehouse that's working for Walmart. So there's a few layers they've had to prove that Walmart is actually controlling what's happening.
And Michael, we'll throw that email on our Central Time Facebook page if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me.
We'll go back to the phones now. We've got Robin on the line in Madison. Robin, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Yeah, I used to do temp work when I was going to school and worked part-time. And whenever I didn't have class, I'd go and work at a local factory or whatever. And I also did it eventually with CNA work. And it was nice because you could either, check out the places, see what they're like, see what, the qualities and things they offer other employees and what they thought. But you could definitely see which companies had less safety concerns. They didn't train you. They said, here, this is what you do. Take this, put it in a box. They didn't give you any safety protocol or what to do with your machines. So, there's a little less safety when it comes to temp workers. But I will say also the quality of temp worker was kind of sketchy, too. Some people in the waiting area, you can tell, just got off from the bar. So there's a little quality issue there, too. So.
Right. Robin, thanks for sharing your experience. Robin, Michael, is saying she kind of used this to shop around for jobs, get work when she needed it. Is that the norm for temp workers, or is it in most cases people who don't really have another option?
It's both those things. I mean, I think if you go to any sort of classic labor hall temp agency at 4 in the morning, you are seeing immigrants, illegal, undocumented immigrants. In a lot of cases, but also if you go to like a labor ready office or a similar type of place, you will see people who are homeless or on probation, from prison and looking for entry back into the workforce. And so you do see some of those issues. But we're also seeing people who used to be able to get hired on directly by a factory or a warehouse who are finding their only option now is, or they go to the factory or warehouse and they're told, you're applying for a temp agency. Or you look on the jobs boards online and where it used to be that you'd get a call back from the company, you're getting a call back from the temp agency. The try before you buy aspect, there is some of that for the worker, but when you talk to workers, this is more of a benefit for the employer than the worker. In every case, a worker can leave a full-time job or a regular job without much consequences. The employer can also do the same, but the consequences increase when they hire them directly because they're directly there and there could be lawsuits for discrimination and things like that. And those don't come into play as much when there's a temp agency involved.
We'll go now to Matt in Green Lake. Matt, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on your statistics for Florida. I was down there between 2005 and 2008 as a carpenter for some of the larger developers, and I witnessed how they would use these temp workers, and it was borderline like slave labor. They would use them for the most, basically the most disgusting tasks that the regular employees wouldn't do. And your statistics just don't surprise me at all.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. In our last couple minutes, Michael, is there movement to try to regulate things, fix things, make work more safe for temp workers?
There isn't much from regulation or from congressional for legislation or things like that. What you are seeing is OSHA has launched an initiative to sort of raise awareness among employers and among the public about the dangers and about the requirements to train the workers, whether or not you're the temp agency or the company that's hiring them. The other thing that's happening is some states have passed right-to-know laws where you used to see workers getting picked up in vans and things like that, and that still happens. but they wouldn't be told where they're going to work. They might get told they're going one place and find out they're working somewhere else. You know, I came across workers in Chicago who were going to work for Tie Incorporated, which is a large maker of stuffed animals, and all they knew was they were going to a place named Los Peluches, which is Spanish for the stuffed animals, and that a guy named Rigo, who is the kind of the local labor broker, had told them there was work there. A lot of states have started to pass laws saying that you have to tell the worker the name of the place that they're going to work. You got to tell them the wage before they start the assignment. And you have to tell them what kind of safety equipment they're going to need for this workplace. One thing we saw, just like sort of the little things are...
Michael, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. We're all out of time. Thanks to Michael Graybell for joining us. He's a reporter for ProPublica, been telling us about his series on temporary workers and the safety problems they face.